I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Someone once said, a wise man learns from the mistakes of others, because nobody lives long enough to make them all himself. Hello, friend, and welcome to today's edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. I'm glad you've joined me today because I have words of wisdom I want to share with you. Now, to be clear, they're not my words of wisdom. If they were, I'm not sure it would be worth your time to listen. What I want to share with you today are words of wisdom from the Holy Scripture. And that's what we do every week on this program. And not only do we teach the Word of God on this program, but we also have the opportunity to teach God's Word in 20 other languages in different parts of the world. Some of these places you wouldn't be allowed to go and share the gospel. Places like North Korea, or Afghanistan, Iran, or Saudi Arabia. But through your partnership with us, you can go there via radio signals and the internet. Your prayers and financial support make this possible, and I can assure you, lives are being transformed. Like this listener to our Oromo language programs in the country of Ethiopia. He writes, "We are a family of 18. We follow our traditional religion. We did not hear about God before, but now we listen to Heralds of Hope program every time. We learn to trust God from this program. We need more teachings to know about Jesus. And we also need your prayers for our family. Our father is blind and is unable to help us as a family. Please pray that God will provide all that is necessary in our family." Isn't that amazing? Through your prayers and financial support, a whole family, who are most likely Muslim, are hearing the gospel and they're wanting to know more about Jesus. Praise God. They are seeking wisdom that comes from God. Thinking about wisdom, listen to these words from Proverbs chapter 8. "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently shall find me." Now, here are the men with a song to express my longing for God's wisdom, and I hope it's your prayer too.
Give me a sight, O Savior, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to to die on Calvary. Oh, make me understand it, help me to take it in, what it meant to thee.
Make me
Heavenly Father, we bow before you, acknowledging that all wisdom comes from you. And without the enabling of your Holy Spirit, we cannot understand or experience that wisdom. So we come, seeking the anointing of your Spirit on our hearts and minds. We're reminded that the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. Father, I pray that you will use my tongue today to bring knowledge out of your word to my listening friend. May your Holy Spirit take the word and apply it to our hearts so that it changes us from the inside out. I ask this through Jesus. Amen. Now stay tuned for the message, Words of Wisdom. The previous message in this series I titled The Monster Tongue. In that message, we concluded that no human being by cunning or logic, or persuasion, or self-discipline, can control the tongue, this little member of our bodies. In fact, I compared the tongue to the Gadarene demoniac. You recall he was often bound with chains by his fellows, in the hope that he could be controlled. But eventually, he would break the chains and resort to his wild roaming, terrorizing the community. And you know that's just how the tongue works. Now, does that mean that there's no hope for us in controlling our tongue? Absolutely not. In fact, there's not only hope, but also assurance from God's word that by His grace, we can gain the mastery over this little unruly member of our body. When the demon-possessed man changed masters, what happened? He was under control. And you know the same thing applies to our tongue. So by the end of this study today, I want you to be able to say with confidence, by God's grace and my obedience to the prompting of the Spirit, I will exercise control over my tongue. That doesn't mean you'll never mess up, never blow it, or never lose control, because you're still human. But once you begin to experience the power of God in this area of your life, you'll get excited about the results. So let's go ahead and read our text from James chapter 3. Then by the guidance and illumination of the Holy Spirit, we'll go back and open it up and see words of wisdom that James provides. Our text is James chapter 3 and verses 13 to 18. So listen carefully now as I read that text. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. James' words of wisdom will show us the sources of wisdom that control our speech patterns. Now, before we examine these sources of speech, let me make a few introductory comments. I want you to notice that verse 13 begins with a question. Who is a man of understanding and thorough expertise among you? This question sets the stage for our being able to determine, first of all, the source of our wisdom, and then whether or not it is the kind of wisdom God wants us to have. The first source of wisdom that we're going to look at is earthly wisdom. And notice that James doesn't go immediately to the source of earthly wisdom. Instead, he points out the actions that result from earthly wisdom. By looking at the actions, we can determine the source. You know, Jesus gave us help in this when he said, "By their fruits you shall know them." You know how a doctor makes a diagnosis of a person's physical ailments. He looks at the symptoms. But if he's a wise doctor, he won't treat symptoms. He'll look for the source of the problem and then begin to treat that. But in order to diagnose the problem, he'll start by looking at the symptoms. And that's the method the Holy Spirit inspired James to use here in this text. So let's look at those symptoms. I won't spend a lot of time here because all of us know from personal experience the evidence of earthly wisdom. Notice the fruits or symptoms are listed here: bitter envy, strife, arrogance, and deception. Bitterness is a result of earthly wisdom. We somehow think that if we can destroy someone's reputation, somehow that elevates us in the eyes of others. And while that might seem to work for a while, we don't realize that bitterness is destroying us, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. Proverbs 17:22 tells us, "A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit or a bitter spirit dries the bones." And what happens in the bones? That's where your new blood is manufactured. And if your blood is not healthy, it will affect every other area of your body. And many people today suffer from physical problems related to bitterness, and they're not even aware of it. Envy or jealousy causes us to make war on the good that we see in others. We become so blinded by our anger that if we do see anything good in that person, we try to destroy it because it makes us look bad. We end up rejoicing in the failures of others and hiding our own failures. And because we're aware of our own failures, but we don't want other people to know about them, we create elaborate schemes trying to keep people from knowing what's really in our hearts. And you know what that does? It creates a spirit of arrogance, because we can't admit that we're wrong. We think that would lower our standing in the eyes of our peers. So not only must we hide our true selves from our enemies, but we must also hide who we truly are, even from our friends. That creates a lifestyle of deception. So on the outside, we can look like we have it all together. But inside is a seething knot of anger and bitterness and jealousy and condemnation. The condemnation comes because we know that we should be different, but we seem powerless to change. In verse 15, James gives us a clear diagnosis. He tells us that earthly wisdom doesn't come from God. Instead, it comes from our soul and body, the earthly, sensual part of man. And further, he says, it is demonically motivated. Satan knows our weaknesses, and he will exploit them every time we give him an opportunity to do so. Now, even though a person has been born of the Spirit or born again, this earthly wisdom doesn't automatically fall off. Because if that were true, James wouldn't have needed to write these words. You see, the soul needs to be reborn too. This is a process where the Holy Spirit, living in my spirit, with my cooperation, begins to take charge of my mind and will and emotions. Earthly wisdom promotes disorder, according to verse 16. James says there's no limit to the kinds of wickedness that originate from earthly wisdom. It delights in creating conflict and strife and contention. It leads people to the depths of sin, where they thought and perhaps even said they would never go. Following earthly wisdom will take you farther from God than you ever wanted to go, and it will cost you more than you ever thought you'd be willing to pay. Now, can you see how earthly wisdom affects our speech? If the things James listed above are in your heart, they will make themselves known through your words. Jesus said in Luke 6, 45 and 46, "A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is good, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." As you analyze your words, are they the fruit of earthly wisdom? The second source of words of wisdom, then, is heavenly wisdom. And verse 17 begins with the word of contrast. It's the little word, but. Earthly wisdom originates in the sensual parts of man and in the regions of the demonic. But this heavenly wisdom comes from above. It is godly wisdom that originates in the regenerated spirit of a person and the regions of the heavenly. So the contrast couldn't be clearer. James informs us that the most outstanding characteristic of this heavenly wisdom is that it is, first of all, pure. In contrast to the bitterness, the intrigue, and the deception of earthly wisdom, heavenly wisdom is holy. It's innocent, it's modest, it's clean. It thinks the best of others, and then it compliments them on their successes. The motives of heavenly wisdom are transparent because it has nothing to hide. It seeks the good of others because it has a genuine appreciation for the diversity of personality and spiritual gifts that are within the body of Christ. Now, because this wisdom is pure, it's often misunderstood. Heavenly wisdom says God is just and good in all that he does. Earthly wisdom says God is unfair and even sadistic because he allows pain in our lives. Heavenly wisdom says God's moral laws are meant for the blessing of humanity. Earthly wisdom says God's moral laws are meant to limit my freedom. And we could go on and on. But again, we come back to the application of these truths to the tongue. When the heart is filled with heavenly wisdom, it will express itself in words that are pure and clearly understood. You see, heavenly wisdom means what it says, and it says what it means. Heavenly wisdom is also peaceable. It seeks what is wholesome and healthful. It desires to live in peace with other people, and it also promotes harmonious relationships. Instead of being boastfully arrogant, it's gentle, it's mild, it's patient, and it encourages the timid to share their thoughts. Heavenly wisdom is willing to listen to the opinions and the observations and the counsel of others. It tries to see the situation from their point of view. Heavenly wisdom uses peaceable words, words that promote understanding rather than inflamed rhetoric, words that promote unity rather than division. Now, when heavenly wisdom is confronted, it is approachable, and it's easy to reason with. It doesn't speak words that are defensive or harsh or rude. Heavenly wisdom has the heart of a learner. It's full of compassion. It knows when to speak, and it knows when to be silent. Heavenly wisdom gives people the benefit of the doubt, the second chance, even at the same time as it refuses to compromise the truth. Because heavenly wisdom knows that truth without love is harsh, but love without truth isn't love at all. It's only empty feeling. And then heavenly wisdom doesn't play favorites. Now that doesn't mean we don't have closer relationships with some people more than others. What it does mean is that we treat all persons with respect and dignity because they are made in God's image. And finally, heavenly wisdom is genuinely sincere. It's transparent. It doesn't have a hidden agenda. What you see is what you get. Now, let's look at verse 18. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. What does that mean? The fruit of righteousness is the product of our right standing before God. Because we've accepted the sacrifice of Christ as the only acceptable payment for our sin, we are made righteous in His sight. There are certain actions on our part that substantiate or verify that acceptance. And one of those actions is what we say, but also how we say it. That fruit is sown or broadcast or scattered in peace. And peace, as it's used here, speaks not only of tranquility, but also prosperity. Peacemakers are always encouraging others to exhibit this heavenly wisdom, because it promotes both personal peace and peace within the community. They work toward peace, and they do all they can to make peace happen. They know that the person who is at peace with God and with his fellow men is a wealthy person indeed. Now, as you and I consider our lives, what is the source of wisdom for our words? Are you a believer who's still clinging to the earthly, sensual, deceptive wisdom? Are your relationships with other people strained because you have an unforgiving spirit? Or are those relationships strained by your harsh words, your unwillingness to admit when you're wrong? You don't have to continue down that path. God wants you to have His heavenly wisdom, and He's made every provision so you can have it. All you need to do is come before the Lord in brokenness and repentance. He will forgive your sin, and He will supply the grace you need to confess your faults to those whom you've offended. He will give you by His Holy Spirit both the desire and the power to speak gracious words, words that build up, words that heal. He will bring to your soul a tranquility and a prosperity that you never thought possible. That's the promise of the final verse of this text. As you make peace and promote peace, you will experience peace. These will be clear evidence of your right standing with God. Your words will be words of wisdom, heavenly wisdom. Let's pray. Merciful Heavenly Father, oh, how we need your words of wisdom. We need words that build up, words that encourage, words that heal. Father, I confess to you my need in this area of my life. And I pray too for my listening friend that he or she will find your grace in this area of life. If there's someone they need to go to and ask forgiveness, give them courage to follow the prompting of your Spirit so they can experience the freedom you want to give them, even today. And now, Father, to all who are listening, I commend them to you and to the word of your grace, which is able to build them up and to give them an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
With thee.
My friend, I hope that's your prayer. And I hope and pray you were encouraged by our time together in the Word today. If you were, you can request a printed or audio copy of this teaching. Just send your request to our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org, or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a copy of the teaching, Words of Wisdom, either in print or on an audio CD. Once again, you may send your request to our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Ask for your copy of the teaching, Words of Wisdom. Now, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. We do depend upon God's grace, your fervent prayers, and your generous financial support to help keep the Voice of Hope on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you can join me next week as we continue our study in the book of James. And until we meet again, rejoice in your privileged position.
Children.